Actually, after show episode 94 for the 24th of July 2010. Although it's going to be very confusing to people who are downloading the audio on Wednesday, going, but it's not the 24th anymore. But you get the idea. We record it live, and you guys get the audio a little bit later. Now, for those who have never listened to a Geek Actually show before, let me just put in our usual disclaimer and say that this is the after show, which is what we do after we've recorded our two main shows, Tech Actually and Film Actually, where we just leave the mics on and we just kind of ramble about anything else that didn't quite make the main shows or whatever else we thought about. I'm David McVeigh. I'm hosting this madhouse, and I'm joined, as usual, by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I'm fine. Still fine.
Still fine?
Still just fine.
Still just fine. You were actually better this morning when we started.
Well, it's a long day.
It is a long day.
It's always a long day. So, like, I'm still here, and I'm very much enjoying being here. It's just, you know, before I had a lot more caffeine in me. Now it's all wearing off.
No, this is why we go and buy fresh caffeine during the breaks.
Yes. But I'm also too jittery right now. There's that very, as a fellow coffee fiend, you will know that there's a very important line you have to understand, which is the line where...
When you start to get the shakes, you've
exactly,
had too much.
Where the jitters outweigh the actual effect of the coffee. And I'm just walking that border far too carefully today.
We're also joined again by Shane Gregory. How are you, Shane?
Very well, thank you. I unfortunately don't need coffee, but hot chocolate is good enough for me.
So. Well, you know, it's still sugar.
sugar.
It's enough to give you the jitters. Callum couldn't join us. If you listen to Film Actually, he said he was going to join us, but he had to actually go, unfortunately. So Callum won't be joining us for the after show, but that's probably a good thing because the after show is usually a bit of a mess. All right. Woohoo! Gotta love the mess. All right. Now, we actually have... I'm just rearranging notes here. We actually have here a trailer that I want to play for you. This was supposed to be in Film Actually. We ran out of time. And now that we've got these three shows back to back, we really got to kind of be a little bit more time respectful. And we actually still went 10 minutes over. But here is the trailer. This is Comic-Con is sensational. And if you listen to Film Actually, you know, we played the Tron trailer from Comic-Con. This was another trailer, two more trailers we've got for this show that turned up in Comic-Con. And this is actually one that we played the first trailer for a couple of weeks ago. Actually, I think we may have played it last week. I'm not even sure now. And Josh and I just looked at each other and went, we're so there. This looks fucking good. This is Warren Ellis's comic book Red. And they've turned it into a film. And this is the new trailer for Red. It showed up at Comic-Con. And I got to tell you, I'm really excited about this. This looks like a lot of fun. And I am just in love all over again with Helen Mirren. So here's Red.
Don't make any sudden moves. Don't talk about satellites.
Seriously?
Why are you trying to kill me?
Why would I be trying to kill you?
Because the last time we met, I tried to kill you.
That was a long time ago.
Some people hold on to things like that.
They used to be the CIA's top agents.
Victoria, best wet work asset in the business.
What? What's that? I kill people, dear.
But the secrets they know...
This is off the books, total blackout.
...just made them the agency's top targets.
Tell me everything you know.
Some thumbsucker tagged them Red.
Red?
Retired, extremely dangerous.
Yeah, hey, don't make them like that anymore.
We're going to break into the CIA and find out who's trying to kill us.
We're getting the band back together.
I put a few things away.
Just in case.
I am excited.
What do you suppose the punishment is for what we're doing here?
Death.
Awesome. I thought it might be nice to have a bit of girl time together.
You can't touch me.
Of course we can.
Are
respect.
Old man, my
red.
How good does that look?
That bit where he steps out of the fucking moving car is quite possibly the most awesome thing I've seen.
Now, for our audio listeners, by the time you hear this, all three of the trailers that we showed in Film Actually and here will all be embedded. Tron is already embedded. The other ones are just raring to go. I'll have them up by this afternoon. And we'll have Red. And we'll also have this next one that we're going to show in just a minute, which is the new Ryan Reynolds film, Buried, which doesn't give much away, but has got me really, really intrigued about this film. And now, Ryan Reynolds is one of those actors. Has there been a particularly bad DC movie yet? Batman and Robin, directed by Joel Schumacher? So just throwing that out there. Losers? I'm just throwing that out there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Numero Zero. I have to throw those out there. Numero Zero is in our chat room trying to defend DC movies.
There's plenty out there.
There's a few out there if you really dig. This one looks like a lot of fun. I've actually got the Red comics now, and I'm going to read them. It's actually only three issues. I was surprised. I thought it was more than that. But I'm going to read those and give you my review of those, because I think it looks like a lot of fun. All right, so we'll come back to that other trailer in a minute. Just continuing on our discussion about Inception, actually, from the main show. Mm-hmm. I've lost my piece of paper. Where is it? Here it is. Now, I just thought I'd bring up a review that came out from a gentleman by the name of Armand White. Now, this is Armand White, for those who want to see what Armand White looks like. Oh, God, where is Mr. Armand White? Here he is. This is Mr. Armand White. Mm-hmm. He's a film critic who constantly is controversial. He often takes the contrary path to everybody else. And up until recently, people have been wondering whether he does it on purpose just to stir up controversy, or does he really believe what he's saying? Last week, he was actually a guest star on the Slash Filmcast. They brought him in to ask him that very question, basically, and to help review Inception. And quite frankly, and you could actually almost hear the distaste in the hosts of the Slash Filmcast as he was talking. But, you know, to be fair, they were giving him his chance. And the bottom line of it is, I think he really does believe what he is saying. I think he's just slightly out there to be. And we'll just go with his latest review. This was his review, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because it goes on for pages and pages. But I will go on and just give you the first paragraph of his review for Christopher Nolan's Inception, which he refers to, his title for the article was Despicable Inception. And he actually says, Christopher Nolan doesn't have a born filmmaker's natural gift for detail, composition, and movement, but on the evidence of his fussily constructed mind game movies following Memento, Insomnia, and the new Inception, he's definitely...
I like the way he misses Batman.
I know. Entirely. He's definitely a born con artist. Else could rook Warner Brothers out of $200 million to make Hollywood's most elaborate video game movie and slap on a puzzlingly unappealing title? Yeah. What do you think, Josh?
Well, I'd like to start by saying, reiterating my point from before, which was the fact that he's obviously avoided the two Batman films because either they don't deserve credit, or there's the fact that he just doesn't want to mention that those are entirely different to the mind-bending movies that he so talks about.
There is that.
And then on top of that, I would like to say that I don't think...
Well, actually, I will actually go on to say in his second paragraph, he does mention one of the Batman movies.
Yeah.
And he says, Inception proves this is Nolan's moment, a beginning of the end moment for film culture, because it's conceived to amuse an era hungry for hokum and a geek audience who, after his gross The Dark Knight pulled in $500 million, is primed for more Baroque fantasia.
Okay, wait. So he's saying... when he says gross, is he meaning gross as in like...
As in bad. As in gross. It's horrible.
So I have no... You know what, Dave? I don't think I'm actually going
to
be able to comment.
Now, what's really interesting about this guy is on the Slash Filmcast, and I do recommend you all go have a listen to that particular episode. I mean, a Slash Filmcast I love anyway, but this particular episode is amazing because you can almost hear the three hosts of Slash Filmcast kind of going, in the background as he's talking. He actually goes on to talk about how Nolan's not an artist, but Michael Bay is.
Oh, wow.
And talks about how good Revenge of the Fallen was and how that was much more of an artistic expression than any of Nolan's films.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. That is exactly was my impression. I sat there actually angry at the podcast going, why are you letting this man talk?
Yeah.
Because he was basically saying how Michael Bay's vision was a pure vision, and you deride him or not, he is an artist. He is very faithful to his vision. Mm. And all I could think was, no. No.
No.
But Armand White also went on to talk about film as an art form, and he is such a wanker, where he was going on about things like how what film is about image and about kinetic energy. And all I can think is, what generation are you from? We've had sound on films for many years, and film is actually a combination of sound and image together.
Well, I would like to say, as somebody from a younger generation, film is the perceived notion of visual presence brought out into screen. And to say Christopher Nolan, of all people, doesn't fill that category is ridiculous. I mean,
Northy in our chat room says he sounds like one of those old guys who's like, damn them kids and their doof doof music.
That's one way of putting it. But what I'd like to say, man, is Christopher Nolan is not someone to stab at for these reasons. No. Sideline the obvious comparisons between the scenes from Modern Warfare 2 and so on and so forth. You want that, you don't want that, fine, whatever. Like, I mean, it's part of the dreamscape, therefore I believe it works, but okay. Looking at just the work and scenes like between the bar scene and the car running around the city with people shooting at them. You just look at the cinematic style between those two set pieces and how they very seamlessly stick together. The fact that they use things like the glass moving, like the water moving the glass, the slow motion when they're going around corners and sort of, you know, as all the people move across and hit, like all these things are exactly for me what film is.
But also, I mean, you could argue that Christopher Nolan is a lot of things, and I'm not going to get into it, but you could argue he's a lot of things. You cannot argue he's not an artist.
Yeah.
He has a singular vision. How do we know? Because all of his films have a singular vision. You know
and
what I mean?
Dude,
they have a style. They have a sense of quality to them.
More importantly, this is like people that try and say modern art isn't art. Like, I'm sorry, it's still art. Any person who...
Look, let's make a small definition. Defining art is a very hard concept to define. But if you were going to put any definition to art, you would say it is something that has to provoke an emotion.
Yeah.
Now, love it or hate it, the art succeeds because you have provoked an emotion. The worst thing it can be is mediocre, where you go, you know, then you haven't really provoked an emotion, you know? So the fact that he hates Christopher Nolan so much, by his own definition of art, you could look at it and go, he provoked an emotion. You hate him.
Yeah.
And because you hate him, therefore, his art works. You
know? Exactly. So, like, I mean, his comment falls down immediately. I mean, I am so dumbfounded right now as to how to start with this man, because it's like, where do I start picking you to pieces?
I'll help you out a little bit. Here's another piece of juicy tidbit from him as well, which was the fact that he said people should not be allowed to make films until they're over 30 because they don't have enough life experience, and film critics should be over 40.
No. You see, now, again, just complete defeating for my purpose. And, all of the filmmakers I love the most, some of their earliest films are what I adore the most.
Steven Spielberg made Jaws at 23.
Oh,
right?
I know.
You know?
Think about The Thing. How old were they when they...
Carpenter. Yeah, Carpenter. Well, Carpenter's probably a little bit older because he was from a slightly different generation.
Yeah, but he's still...
He's still just under 30, I'm sure.
He was not 30 when he made that film. It's just like, my God, that just...
Yeah, no, it's staggering. And all I can say is that, quite frankly, he writes for the New York Press, and quite frankly, he's made it so that I never want to read the New York Press. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those situations where you have one bad apple spoils the bunch, and I look at it and go, I don't care what else New York Press does, I'm not interested. If they can pay this man to put out this kind of bile. Why would I want to go read their publication?
And also, I don't see how a lover of film can actually have that kind of an attitude.
Thank you, Northy. Northy said, mind development is not an age-defined thing. Exactly. Absolutely.
And who says that something has to be 100% like perfect?
And he's saying, he's talking about experience, and this is numero zero, says he's talking about experience, but that's also not an age-defined thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Experience, dude. Some people...
I've been around the world 3 times by the time I was 10, you know?
Exactly.
You can have a lot of world experience at a very young age.
How many times have you looked at, developed children that come to the store? I would have kids walk into the store with, like, the mindset smarter than 25, 26-year-olds at, like, 7 or 8. Just out of the way they've been brought up or the life they've had to live. Mm-hmm. It's just like you can't put ages on something like that. It's like if he had said mentally, like the scope of a 30-year-old.
And this is what makes me wonder whether he does say things just for shock value.
Yeah.
But it's really weird. When you actually hear him talking, you sit there and go, you are so set in your ways. You really do believe this. You really do believe the crap that comes out of your mouth, you know? Yeah. And he basically insulted the hosts of the podcast straight to their face by saying that film blogs and so forth were the end of cinema, basically. And, you know, they're not real critics and all that. And you just sit there and go, wow, you don't even know where you are. You're insulting the people, the very people who are hosting you saying this, you know?
Yeah. But, like, I mean, I would imagine he would have... Like, there would have been badgering between them to try and get these people into the same room. And I can't imagine the boys actually being that excited about that opportunity.
Mm.
I honestly think that that whole situation was a bad choice.
Hey, look, and I don't think they do, but if David Chen or Devendra Hardwar or Adam Quigley listen to us at all, if they've ever heard our show, we would love to hear what their behind-the-scenes comment were on some of these things. You can send it to feedback@geekactually.com. I'd love to hear it.
Mm.
And you're welcome to come on our show at any time. Mm. So this guy has just gotten under my skin, and
I'm literally reeling right now because the very comment just drives me nuts.
I mean, we've got bad critics here in Australia too. Don't get me wrong, and you know there's bad critics everywhere. But it's when this sort of close-minded, it's a form of bigotry.
Yeah,
you know, and you sit there and you just go, yeah, there's something about it that just...
Oh, dude, and you know what? It's a sense of elitism that I just cannot handle. It's
yeah, and that's like... that's the other point that was we talked about. My lovely wife Katie and I talked about as well, which is this elitism that comes out. We have forgotten that cinema is not the elite.
Well, exactly. You know? Like people,
and that's the thing. It's the cinema.
We take hard hits on the nose to go watch films I'm not interested in, a la Twilight, and we will go out and we will see these films. Because it's unfair of us to take a side.
Well, and not just that, though. We've got to look at it and say, when cinema first came into existence, it was known as the chambermaid's entertainment.
Mm.
Because the help couldn't afford to go to theater. So they would spend a couple of shillings and go to the movies, right? Yeah. And movies are for the masses. Movies are a mass media form of entertainment. And that's what their primary goal is to entertain. Right? So if you can slide in a message, he kept talking all the way through his / film interview, he kept talking about it doesn't forward the human condition or this or that and all this bullshit. And all like a thing that go, you know what? Did the film entertain you? Did you have fun? Did you enjoy the experience of going to the cinema? If they can weave a message into the film, great. But if you try and ram a message down the film, it's not going to work.
Absolutely.
You know? It's about entertainment first. Then try and put your message into it. If you can weave a message into your entertainment, great.
Mm.
But it's not just about trying to forward. We don't go see films like, give me an example, Kick-Ass, to forward the human condition.
No.
We go see a film like Kick-Ass because we want to be entertained.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, it's as simple as that. And I hate that elite. One of the reasons we started the Geek Actually show in the very, very first episode we talked about this was to combat this sort of bullshit, was to get away from this elitism, this whole idea of film critics sitting there going, oh, but it wasn't this and it wasn't that, and then Godard did it so much better. It's like, who cares? Did this film, taken on its own merits, entertain you?
Yes.
End of story.
Exactly.
You know? And it doesn't have to be a Stanley Kubrick film. It doesn't have to be a Godard film. It has to be an entertainment. And did it work? You know? And that's one of the reasons why we don't give star ratings on this show. We don't ever talk about 4 stars or 3 stars because it's arbitrary. It's an arbitrary number that means nothing.
Exactly.
Would you recommend the film to a friend? That's the biggest rating you can give.
Yeah.
If you recommend it, that means you liked it, and they'll probably like it too. You
exactly.
know?
And our whole basis for people listening and the fan base that we've built up and the people that come and listen to our show is all based entirely on the fact of whether or not they think that what we say is worth them going out and checking out the experience as well.
Damn straight.
And
hopefully
all
there
is
some...
our opinion.
That's right. And we'll make that very clear. Film is a completely subjective thing. Different people like different things. I will not bag out somebody for liking Twilight. If you like Twilight, good for you.
Yeah.
You know? It doesn't mean I have to like it. Yeah. And so when you sit there and I say, God, that was a terrible film. I hated it. I don't want you to come back and say, oh, you're just an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. Mm. Because it's a personal opinion. And I'm saying my opinion and I have a show so I can say it publicly. And you don't have to agree with me. And you can say, but I liked it, so therefore. And if you disagree with me, that's fine. That's why we have a feedback line. Disagree with us, please.
Yeah, we're
try and change our minds. You know?
Look, I'm happy to have people disagree with me, man. I've never had a problem with that. The only time that I will get angry at you for an opinion is if you refuse to back it up. If you call me wrong and then refuse to tell me why.
Absolutely.
Exactly. If you come up with a point that I can't explain to you my reasoning behind, then I am... ineffective.
It's actually one of the reasons why I will never walk out of a movie. It doesn't matter how bad the movie is. I sat through Big Stan. Mm. I will always stay to the end of a movie. Why? Because I don't feel, and this is personal, but I don't feel I am legitimately qualified or allowed to make comment on a movie if I haven't seen the whole thing.
Mm. No, agreed.
If I haven't seen, if I walked out, I can't turn around and say that film was terrible because something brilliant might have happened at the end. You know, so I feel that I have to be able to make reasonable comment on a film. I have to be able to say, I saw the whole thing. This is how I felt.
Mm.
You know, I just love this comment. We have to bring this up. Callisynth in our chat room says, Transformers didn't forward the human condition that killed my childhood, but it didn't forward anything also. But Numero Zero has answered back and said, it forwarded Megan Fox.
No, I like the follow-up to that, which is into a wall with a catapult, which is why she got prompted for facial reconstruction. I agree. Wonderful.
Damn straight.
And I think the wall was, of course, every step she took after that into the public eye. That was kind of the wall that she stepped into.
Right into Jennifer's body.
Yep.
Yeah, Jennifer's body. Wow.
Just,
Yes, sir.
Can I say one thing about this dude?
Yeah, please.
He has a stupid triangular beard.
Like, we can be childish in it.
Hey, way to
too.
Go superficial See? On us.
Perfect. Oh, no, isn't that a shirt collar, though?
Oh, it's his shirt, dude. That's
it's
his
a shirt.
Shirt,
dude. Look.
He's got this little gray beard
here. It's like perfectly...
It's really weird. He has these odd facial dimples that kind
that's
of...
That's a spooky-ass photo, too, man.
I know, but like, I assume that they're trying to harness that kind of black darkness, and I don't mean as a skin color. I just mean as in, like, they've just filtered all of the color out. Just like him.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all we'll say on that for the moment. I think we've harped on that, but it's look, it just really,
you're an idiot,
and it just pisses me off when people sit there and go, it's my opinion or no opinion, and that's just not fair.
Mm.
You sit there and go, everybody has an opinion,
yeah,
and, you know, and that's one of the beautiful things about blogs and the web and everything else is the fact that everybody has got a voice now. We may not always agree with it. But everybody has a voice to be able to say what they want to say. And I think that's fabulous. And I think that's the takeaway from this is all you film bloggers out there, power to you.
Mm.
Stick to your guns. The old school form of criticism, which this guy obviously belongs to, is dying.
Yeah.
And it's because of people like him. This is why it's dying.
Yeah. It's people that are like, there are, you have two sort of from the same generation, you have two mindsets, which are the people like him that refuse change and refuse to accept film for the direction it's going, and then you have your sort of Roger Ebert's who have tried their best to stay as open as they possibly can throughout their existence. And look,
that's a nice way of putting it.
Look, they may stay. they may sidestep every now and then. Again, Ebert very much, you know, sort of insulted me and everything that I stand for with his comment on video games. But at the same time, there are so many steps he's taken and so many explanations as to why things have been good throughout his career, which make me go, you are who I strive to emulate, and I would love to get as good as him one day. I doubt I ever will, but he is amazing for the fact that he has been able to keep so open for so long.
That's true. I think, yeah, I agree with you. I think he's misstepped on several occasions, but overall.
Oh, yeah. Dude,
overall,
but again, you're always going to. There's always going to be
especially
days.
When you've had a career that long.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to throw out here really quickly, and this is kind of on a complete side note, but just before I forget, because I'm likely to forget, a friend of the show, Ben O'Brien, who's been on the show before, has got a play coming out, and he mm-hmm. asked us whether we could give him a plug for his play, and I said we'll put it in the after show, which is the show that has probably our biggest audience for this mm-hmm. kind of thing, and it's a film, it's a play called Fictionary, which he's written and he's directing. Is that right? Yeah.
Yep.
And it is playing at. Oh, let me. Hold, I'm reading the. I'm reading this as I'm going here. It's at Studio One. Where are the dates? July 27th to the 31st, Tuesday to Saturday, 8 p.m. Produced by Brent Davidson, written and directed by Ben O'Brien, starring Evan Donahoe, Emmanuel Spiropoulos. I'm going to get that. I'm going to give shit for that. Melissa Voggett and Michael Yor. It's basically, do we know what the synopsis is? I don't know. I can read it, but do we know
kind of a play, the way I understand it, it's kind of a play about like a sitcom-esque kind of a play. It looks, apparently it's hilarious.
So. Yeah, and Celine, who's doing production design for it, yes. I believe, who's been on our show many times, said it's beautifully written. She said it's a fantastic script.
Yeah. Ben is a very talented writer, and I'll be very excited to see how this all plays out. And
absolutely.
I want to see it. And if anybody wants contact details, you can hit me or Dave up on
Studio. We'll put the link on the show notes as well for the actual page, so you can find it. It's $10 general tickets, $8 for students, or $5 if you're a member of Studio 4. Okay? Mm-hmm. Is it Studio 1 or Studio 4?
Studio 4 is the collection of people thing. Studio One is Studio One of the place. Again, if you need details, if you're interested, please hit me or Dave up and we'll give you directions on how to get there.
Absolutely. All right, and we'll put that link in the show notes. So if you're interested, that is happening. Okay, so there, good. I won't forget it. There's our little ad. All right.
Did you have another trailer?
I did, and I'm going to play that right now. This is a film that I have no idea about. Let me just warn everybody, I have no idea about it. All I know is that we saw a first teaser trailer for it a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and now this one has come out, which also doesn't give much away, but it's a really intriguing film because it's basically a one-man show. It's basically Ryan Reynolds on screen by himself, and the last time we saw something like that was Moon, which was fabulous, with
Sam Rockwell,
which was just fantastic. So this is a film called Buried, and here's a little taste of Buried for you.
Yes, 911.
I'm from Hastings, Michigan. I'm a driver for CRT. My convoy was ambushed. I'm buried in a coffin in the ground, and I need help. Please send help. I'm begging you.
How did you end up in the coffin, sir?
I was put here.
You're a medical?
Yeah.
$5 million a night, but you stay buried like dog.
United States Department, eh?
I'm an American citizen. My convoy was attacked, and I'm being held for ransom. I need $5 million, or I'll be left to die here. These threats are real, and will be followed through on.
I just have a few questions for you, Mr. Conroy.
You gotta be kidding me.
It's important that I get this information. It'll help.
Wait. How do you know my name? What's going on right now?
Listen to me, okay? These guys didn't know where we live. They have my driver's license.
Do not go back to the house. Nobody's gonna pay $5 million for me.
Boy, there's little we can do from Washington.
Your ransom video already has 47,000 hits on YouTube.
Where is money?
I need more time, please.
You show blood.
What?
You got fingers.
What are you doing right now to help it? Let me out of here, and I promise you I will get you the money.
No.
What you think of that?
I'm actually very excited about that.
I'm very intrigued.
If nothing else, because I want to prove to myself that Ryan Reynolds is a great actor.
Yeah. I
want to cross that line. No, because I believe he is, but I have not yet seen something that really blew me out of the water that he's done. And this is his chance.
Yeah, well, we've had comments here. Noisy says, reminds him of Phone Booth.
Kind of, except for it doesn't have Colin...
No, concepts and conceptually, though. Numero Zero.
I know what he meant. I'm just saying it can never be that because it doesn't have him in it, which makes it instantly
and
better.
He also says a trailer with no footage from the movie. Interesting piece of marketing.
Well, no, but I have to say, because I imagine it will be one of those films where if you put the actual stuff on, it probably won't. Without you being there for the entire experience, it'll be very difficult to take footage from that film and make it work in a trailer.
That's true.
And I think that that's the best kind of trailer you can do, is try and keep it moving, keep stuff on screen so that people aren't going to get bored, because it's going to be the kind of thing that will be engrossing. It is going to be the kind of thing you're going to have to sit down and watch the whole of it out in one go. So yeah, I do.
I'm really, really, really
excited.
I'm excited. What I'm not so excited for at this point, which is something that I'm very surprised I'm saying, is the new Thor film. Now, before everybody jumps up and down in the chat room and says, why the hell not, you're a geek, because images have started to surface now. And the first image that came out with the hint of his costume and stuff, we all went, ooh, isn't that exciting? But then, you know, when you start to see the bigger images, this one's not so bad. This is Hemsworth and his hammer. It's the first time we've actually seen him with his hammer. And, you know, that's obviously in the modern world, that's fine. And, you know, that's okay, and I can accept that. But then we start seeing stuff like this. And I look at this and I just go, it's too clean, it's too clinical, it's too fake-looking, you know? And I wanted Asgard to be, for the audio listeners, we've got a picture from Thor, which is the Odin's chambers, basically. And it's all gold and it's all shiny and it's all just very artificial-looking.
Like, none of it looks like gold at all. It looks like bad, tacky plastic.
Yeah, and the costumes look... Now that we're getting higher res shots of the costumes like this, it all looks kind of fake and plasticky, and it doesn't have any kind of realism to it. Thor isn't so bad. It's Odin. It looks like it's like made up of pressed plastic plates, you know?
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know.
To be honest, the other one, the main shot that had the eye just looked like a piece of yellow plastic.
Yeah, I don't know, and if Ben was here, Ben would be jumping up and down on us right
I'm
now.
I'm sure Ben has a lot to say about it.
Well, he's already Facebooked me saying, aren't the photos amazing, and I haven't written back to him yet because I'm kind of heartbroken going, I don't know if I want to get into this.
So he may end up getting in contact
He'll get in contact. And Ben, appreciate, write to me, you know, I'll eat crow if it's great.
Yeah,
you know,
if there's something that you can tell us about this that we're not aware of.
And I will point out that when Spider-Man 1 was coming out, some pre-publicity stills of Green Goblin and Spider-Man came out that were like studio stills, and they looked terrible.
Yeah.
And it just looked awful. And it looked fake and plasticky, and I thought, really, that's the best they're going to do? But of course, it looked better in the film. So these might just be publicity stills that just don't quite work, and it may look better in the film. I don't know. It's just it's kind of taken some of the sheen off of what I was hoping for.
Yeah, it seemed much more sheen. But again, like you said, it could be production shots, so they may all the sheen and all the polish may be not on them yet.
That's true. So you know, we wait and we see. I guess we wait and see. Shane, what do you think of Thor? You excited?
I guess not so much the costume and everything, but I guess, well, I can't find out now, but what story they will bring forward.
Yeah, no.
With it,
I'm looking forward to seeing where they're going to go with the story.
I mean, there's no chance I'm not seeing it. Don't get me wrong.
No. Like we would ever not see it.
Numero Zero in our chat room has said, "I'm having trouble not seeing sexual references in that last picture." I think
I need to see that picture again. I'm not. Don't.
Well, yeah, okay. He's kind of grabbing that little disc on his chest there.
It's kind of almost a boob grab.
It is almost. It's
just
a little bit too high.
I don't see it.
I will point out that it's supposed to be his father, dude, and that makes it even creepier.
Also, his neck is amazingly stretched forward. Can I just say that?
What, Odin's?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's almost like going, hey. we'll put these pictures up on the website for the audio listeners so you can...
I've never seen... I will say the other thing that worries me is I've never seen Anthony Hopkins as someone that could sell the surreal. Like, he's very... He's very visceral, and he's a very decent actor.
I'm also kind of over Anthony Hopkins. I loved Anthony Hopkins, don't get me wrong. I was a huge fan.
But, like, I'll put it this way. When I see him on screen as someone really powerful, right, in a completely, you know, fan-based kind of geekish kind of a film, all that comes to mind is Liam Neeson in Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
That's what I reckon we're going to get out of his performance, because an actor has to be able to sell what they're trying to push across, you know, what they're trying to get out there. And my biggest problem with him doing that is I've never seen him in a role where I've really felt like he could play that kind of a personality.
Yeah. Look, I think...
Beowulf, him playing the thing in Beowulf, he was horrible. Look, past the actual bad CG, I'm talking about...
The performance was out.
He just felt really off, and that's the exact same kind
of
feeling.
The problem I'm having with Anthony Hopkins at the moment is the fact that the man has announced his retirement more times than I've had hot dinners over the last couple of months, or last couple of years, I should say. And so his heart just doesn't feel like it's in anything he does.
Yeah.
And this is a man who was a brilliant actor. I mean, I could have watched Silence of the Lambs day in and day out forever. You know what I mean? But in everything I've seen over the last few years, I kind of just sit there going, oh, he's just doing Anthony Hopkins again. And that's the problem, is he's just doing Anthony Hopkins. He's not trying to put anything into it, you know? And
well, hey, no. Look, maybe the guy can throw us a curveball and maybe this will be amazing. But I'm just saying, on principle, he worries me.
Hey, Moopy Doos just joined us in the chat room. Yes, you are a little bit late to the party.
Jesus, a little bit late, guys? It's like 4 o'clock, man.
Oh, wait a minute. Numero Zero says it's the one in the giant room that has the sexual. Let me bring that picture up again. Sexual?
I don't think we should go into that. I don't want to.
Other than the fact that they look like ovaries, I don't know.
Oh, dude, I don't know. The things off the side kind of look like penises.
Oh, there's that too. I was thinking there it looked like ovaries, and he's standing in the middle. Oh, we're in the middle. Standing in the
exactly.
Middle.
We're getting
It's a pelvis. That's what it is.
Look, either way, we shouldn't be talking about this. Let's move on.
Move on. Last thing I want to talk about today in this glorious after show of unstructured nonsense is I want to talk about the Greater Union Cinema experience that we had. We went to see Inception at Greater Union on Thursday night, and all the way there... Sorry, somebody's just said, aren't you glad you joined now, Moop? All the way there, we kept Celine and I were talking, and I think Josh was kind of laughing at us, but we were talking about the fact that the only reason we like going to Greater Union, because the ticket prices are way too high, is the fact that you can get the overpriced cinnamon donuts.
I wasn't getting involved in that conversation. I was avoiding that conversation.
The body temperature horrible cinnamon donuts that you can just eat during the movie. And we got there, and they've closed the goddamn snack bar.
Yeah,
it's all under renovation. I'm sorry, if you're going to spend or charge that much money for a ticket.
Celine brought up an awesome point, which is that they've still got the pictures of the donuts stuck to the outside of the wood, which is blocking that area. It's like such a tease.
I know. And you know, so we get there, and not only can we not get snacks of the type of variety that we want to, I went, okay, well, damn it, I'll just get my Choc Top, because I always have a Choc Top. They were out of Choc Tops. I'm sorry. This is a cinema that charges... What's the ticket price at Greater Union now? $19, $18 for a standard movie? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You're going to charge that kind of money, mm-hmm. then you better damn well have your infrastructure in place. And if you're going to do renovations to your snack bar, do it when there's nobody there.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You got to move fast, get it done during closing hours, and get it reopened again while their paying customers are there.
Well, at least you got yourself a Choc Top, right?
No, they didn't have any. I had to get a Cornetto. I was very, very disappointed.
So your whole experience was pretty much
shattered, man.
Shattered.
If the movie hadn't been good, oh man,
wow.
The world would have ended at that point. I don't know about you guys, but Choc Top movie synonymous with each other. You have to have one.
It's important.
It's important. It's tradition. Cornettos are awesome, but not in that circumstance.
You prefer a Choc Top.
Gotta be a Choc Top.
It's gotta
be.
Let him have it.
It's gotta be the artificial plasticky chocolate with the poor quality ice cream in the shitty stale cone. It's gotta be. If it's not, all right.
So there you go. Just let him have it.
You can still go and buy a bottle of water for $8.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah, there is that. Yeah,
$4.50. I like the way everybody
complains about the price of petrol. All of it. Let me just tell you that it's still cheaper than buying milk, water, or Coke. So, think about that. You know, that's the big issue. All right, I'm done. You guys got anything?
No, I'm done, man. I'm out.
Oh, the only thing I'm going to say before we go is that this week I've been watching Californication.
Yeah.
I've now completed 2 seasons of Californication. Really bite-sized show. You can get through it in a couple of days. This is brilliance. This is brilliance on television. If you haven't watched Californication or you've only seen one episode like me, you watch one or two episodes and you go, it's all right, but nothing I really want to get into. Stick with it. It gets progressively better and better and better every episode you go through.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I think we can pretty much finish up.
Yeah, we're going to wrap this up.
Don't forget, Fictionary. Go see it.
Go see Fictionary. Support one of the guests of this show who's come on this show. Oh, there was a reason I had this printed. Why did I have this printed? Give me a second. There was a reason why I had this printed. It was a comment. It was a comment made by Warren Ellis, who's hilariously frank about why he sanctioned the adaptation of Raid. Because you know how so many people are precious about these things. Yeah. And I had to print this because I just love this. When Warren Ellis was asked why he sanctioned an adaptation of Raid, he said, they gave us a lot of money. I could buy most of you now.
I think that is a perfect way to finish this show.
Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, chat room, for sticking around for this entire day of recording. You guys have been absolutely joy to have. Moopy-Doo, join us earlier next time. thank you, Shane. Thank you, Josh. Very quickly, if you just a little bit of housekeeping, if you want to send us feedback on anything we've talked about, feedback@geekactually.com or our voicemail line 02-8011-3167. And you can buy geek merchandise over, of course, at cafepress.com.au, geek actually, that is. And I just want to throw out one more. We did it in the tech show. We didn't do it in the film show because we were running over. I just want to put out another big, big, big thank you to Josh Spencer, who is currently working on new album art and new show logos and stuff for us.
We've seen all the drafts.
The drafts are fantastic. Hopefully we'll have them within the next week to put all this stuff out. You can find out more about Josh Spencer's cartoon work and his general artwork at Spencer Cartoons, which is over at attackninja.blogspot.com. He is brilliant. His work is fantastic, and it just fills me with joy every time I look at our cartoons. They're fantastic. And, of course, go see our friends over at the Movie Fan House and Real Junkies. You can find those by searching for them both at iTunes or moviefanhouse.com or weekendronin.com, respectively. And, of course, go to rawdlc.com and listen to DLC Live, the new gaming podcast from Josh and company.
Yep. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Australian time. It's awesome to
it's
watch.
Awesome.
We're cool. We know it.
And you can follow Shane on Facebook.
Yeah.
What is it? Shane Robert Gregory.
Yeah, there you go.
But make sure you do say where you heard about him, otherwise he may reject you.
Yep. Okay. We all might. So.
And on that note, I think we're going to get out of here.
We're done, man.
I think we're done for the day. We will see you all next week. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Bye now.